Hi, my name is Sarah Flower, and thanks so much for listening to KSUT. Today, I have an exclusive interview of CEO of Mercy Regional Medical Center, Mike Murphy. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here today.
You bet. My pleasure. Great to be here.
I'm excited to have you on here because during a global pandemic, the importance of hospitals and healthcare has never been so important. And I think, for people inside the realm, certainly it has, but zooming out and the community-wide concern about healthcare and hospitals is huge right now. How are things going at Mercy, and how are you holding up today, Mike?
So we're doing really well, and I think for a lot of good reasons. One of the basic reasons is because our particular area has a low incidence rate, particularly because the population is smaller. So as a result of having to deal with the number of patients who are testing for positive for COVID, and then those patients that are being admitted to the hospital, we have relatively low numbers as compared to the rest of the state and the rest of the country. So because of that, it's allowed us to spend more time really in thoughtful planning, to work collectively with all our community resources, to really be prepared for any potential surge that we may see that could come out of this in this first wave anyway, as we look at a potential wave two. We keep hearing people talking about the potential. That's a big, big unknown at this time, but certainly being prepared for that, if that were the case as well. So we feel very blessed to be able to have that opportunity.
And, you know, Mike, right now, and kind of always, I guess, for Mercy Regional Medical Center, we're the hub of the Four Corners. I mean, you mentioned low population in rural areas. But if you look at Southwest Memorial Hospital, Pagosa's Hospital, even San Juan Regional, all eyes are on Mercy during this.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. We do really serve the Four Corners region. We are the go-to for acute care services and ICU beds and ventilators if they're needed. We are the outlet that people look towards. And as a result, we have been working very closely with Pagosa, in terms of the hospital there, as well as Cortez, and also San Juan Regional Medical Center in Farmington. As a matter of fact, back 4 to 6, maybe even 8 weeks ago, we had a pretty big surge happening in New Mexico, and San Juan was literally running out of ventilators, and they called us, and through our connection back to our system office and our system in Denver, we were able to provide them 5 ventilators within 48 hours. We had them delivered to their hospital to help out keeping those patients in their community there instead of having them to come to Mercy. So we act as kind of a regional tertiary coordination center in this area. And that's worked out really well as the communities of providers have collectively come together. Part of that is a testament really to the good work that San Juan Basin Health Department has been doing in bringing together all of the healthcare-related entities on a weekly basis to really brainstorm and look at what happened last week, what's the opportunities going forward, what do we think are going to be the expectations and challenges, and then being prepared for those as a team, if you will, through this whole region.
A community-wide effort, indeed, as we're all kind of looking to each other as our neighbors are doing this, and how is Archuleta? How is Montezuma? And that combined relationship. I'm glad you brought up San Juan Public Health Department, because San Juan Basin has been tirelessly working through this as local public health departments are. And a lot of this, I want to break down hospitalization data to know that people feel safe in going to the ER or getting your elective surgery done, that it feels like a safe space to go to the hospital. San Juan Basin is reporting their on their data dashboard hospitalizations. I believe it's throughout Archuleta and La Plata counties. It's currently shown 23, but I guess the data is a little bit confusing in what's shared to the public. Can we break this down and where people can find more information, and what is okay to be shared publicly and what is kept private from HIPAA?
Yeah, so the information that's provided, that the best place still is the San Juan Basin Health Department's website they have in terms of the breakdown. That number you quoted in terms of hospitalizations are really a cumulative number over the last, since the beginning of COVID. And so we've had a total in that category of those number of patients, which really translates down to anywhere from 2 to 4 patients at any one time being at Mercy is where we land. And as a result of that, you can imagine when, depending on the patients that do come in, they may need to be in the ICU or they may need a ventilator. And so that varies in that number as well from 0 to 4 type numbers. And that's pretty where we've stayed throughout all of COVID. So our capacity is much, much higher than that. So we are in a good position. We have what we call a dashboard every week that we review with all of the respective parties in the region. And we have what we call, you know, are we in low risk, high risk, medium risk in terms of exceeding capacity? And we have remained in the low risk area for exceeding any of our capacity that we would need in this region. But so if folks want to look at the most current data, it really is San Juan Basin's, because we provide that data directly to them, and then they actually publish it in terms of the as part of their website.
But it's just that total. So is it possible for people to see, like, how many, especially with school starting, Fort Lewis coming back up, to see how many ICU beds are available locally? We can see that on the COVID-19.gov for the Colorado website. But how can we see that locally? Are those numbers shared with San Juan Basin, and is it incumbent on them to share it? Or how does that work, Mike?
Yeah, how it actually works is there's actually a state resource called, CM Resource, or EM Resources. And it is a database that the state actually puts out there. And we populate that data with the very specific details of what's going on in the hospital because of HIPAA compliance and privacy and all of that. We publish that data specifically into that state data feed. And then San Juan Basin has the ability to go into EM Resource and pull out that information and then report it to the community. And that's really the process. If there's a need for more specific, if community members need, I would just point them to really talk to San Juan Basin Health Department. Really is the source of truth, if you will, of what data they are actually pulling and presenting in the community. So that's the requirement that we've been following. As quite frankly, all of the 17 hospitals within Centura statewide, we all populate that database every day to make sure it's up to date. So.
And a big reason why I want to talk to this too is because as we move forward for the Colorado the government guidelines, it was stay at home, safer at home, and the metrics for moving forward into the protect your neighbor, eases all these guidelines. A big portion of that was making sure that there is enough hospital capacity and that we're okay in that space and that you have enough PPE gear to protect everybody. I mean, breaking that down from the governor's office, that is a huge part in being able to reopen. And let's talk about those metrics and what that looks like.
Yeah, so there are 8 metrics that are part of the governor's Protect Our Neighborhood and Our Neighbors that, again, are contained in the EM Resource website database that we go to every day, and we actually populate those measures specifically so that it ties back to the requirements for opening up certain parts of the community as we go forward and keeping those open. And so as those will change, which I'm sure they will, I would assume we'll continue to follow the same process of the state saying, okay, here are the measures, and then we go into that database, we populate those measures every day, and then San Juan Basin comes in and says, okay, now we fit the guidelines that have been given to us by the state, so we can stay in this category. If the county, say La Plata County, says, you know, we see what the state measures are, but we think we're doing so much better, we want to accelerate that, then there's a request that the La Plata can ask through an attestation of the state showing that data. And then when we get those, the state will then ask us to attest is this data accurate? And then we'll give that back to the state, and the state will then grant that one way or the other. So that's the process. We as a health systems stay out of the are we meeting a criteria or not? We give that data to the state, and then they determine, are we meeting their criteria? They're the, again, source of truth, not us telling them, oh yeah, we meet it. And then they come back later and say, well, what do you mean? So it's kind of a handoff. So we're trying to be very clear, very consistent with providing that to the state.
It's such an interesting time. April, I believe, I did a story with Stone Age, who had talked about donating a lot of that PPE gear to Mercy. How are you guys in the world of PPE? Has that slowed down? Do you need more? Do you feel confident?
Feel very confident for two reasons. One, it's great to have local partners that were helping us out in the early stages and continue to be a source of support. But in addition to that, and really that the backbone to Mercy's strength in this area is Centura. Because of the 17 hospital system, the ability to go out and bring those supplies in and centrally warehouse all those supplies. So if we see we're getting low, we simply pick up the phone, get a call, and we have the PPE provided directly to us. So that's one of the strengths because of being part of the big system. We feel very fortunate that we can get all the supplies that we need when we need them. And so we feel pretty confident in that space.
Mike, the story ran back in the Durango Herald about a shortage of ICU staffing. Has that been taken care of? How are you guys holding up for staffing here?
Yeah, we had an overall increase in the number of patients, both COVID and non-COVID, that were in our ICU for a couple of weeks. And when that spiked up, we were challenged on having staff. We never ran into a situation where we didn't have enough staff because we have what's called a flex pool, part of Centura. Again, a good example of that is we had an increase in a number of patients come in within a 24-hour period. We picked up the phone, we called our central office, and within 24 hours, we had an ICU nurse in their car on their way to Durango, arriving for the next morning shift. So it's interesting time because we staff at a certain level, and good ICU nurses obviously take a little bit of time to attract and get hired. So we did have a little challenge there for a few days where we had to tap into our flex pool in Denver. But over the following week or two, we were able to hire on additional staff. It was purely just a hiring challenge with a jump up. So as we see those happen, again, we've got this statewide flex pool we're able to tap into. So we can always get the number of nurses we need in our ICU. But that was a challenging one. I think the Herald got a little bit excited about publishing that, there's a crisis. There really wasn't. It was more of we were just letting San Juan Basin know that we were needing to pull some resources that were actually doing outside testing of COVID patients. We had some of our staff there that are ICU trained, and we needed to pull them back into our ICU instead of doing testing outside. So it limited the number of tests that we were able to do outside for a few days. And I think the Herald kind of picked that up and thought that, oh, this looks like a great article. And it was a little probably overdone from my standpoint, but we are in good shape there.
You did mention testing. I want to talk about this. Fort Lewis College recently has been able to do through a private lab, as students have moved into the dorms last week, are acclimating right now. I believe 1,700 tests last week, and they are committed to doing testing every week for the remainder of the semester, as long as there is in-person learning and things of that nature. And the positive tests that have come back so far, Mike, have all been asymptomatic. I did talk with Leanne Gillon yesterday about the importance of community-wide testing, which I know Mercy really took the lead on, but had to scale back a little bit. Let's talk about this component of community-wide testing and to get a real gauge, whether you're symptomatic or not, of what COVID looks like in our community.
Yeah, so a couple of important points regarding the testing was San Juan Basin Health Department opened up a second site at the fairgrounds. And that's going exceptionally well. And as a result of that opening, and we were realizing through the testing that we were getting a lot of people showing up that were were asymptomatic, were out-of-staters that were coming in, and we were testing an awful lot of people and getting a lot of, and getting mostly negative, obviously negative results. So we became more focused on what were the patients who really need to be tested. And that was the redefining moment of let's focus on those patients who have symptoms or are high risk, who are symptomatic, and let's get those folks in first and then the asymptomatics after that. And so although that worked well, we actually opened up a second site. And today we're seeing, you know, we were jumping up into the 75 to 175 patients or tests per day. We are now running anywhere from 30 to 40 tests per day at that same site. And primarily because San Juan Basin opened up the larger scale, bigger, we'll call it larger testing center at the fairgrounds. And so, and because of the location of that being actually preferential to most people, that's where we're seeing everybody going now. So we're actually working in collaboration very closely with Leanne in terms of the resources we have at our testing center and actually shifting those resources, some of those over to her and to the site that they're doing at the fairgrounds. So we're kind of working back and forth to try to meet those needs. And then the asymptomatic testing, particularly the college students, all of our CHPG, our Centura practices, primary care practices, have been also doing testing at their locations and at the hospital for those patients or those students that are asymptomatic, that are coming in there. So we're part of that testing, if you will, community testing group for Tom and the college in terms of servicing them as well. But very important to get that group, particularly as they're coming in from out of state, tends to have a higher percentage of those who are asymptomatic, but yet when they're tested, do test positive. So I think it's very important, particularly student population coming in from outside, from other parts of the country, to get tested.
Fort Lewis admissions is high this year, higher than it has been. I think people were looking for smaller, maybe they didn't want to go to CU Boulder with huge class sizes. So it's really boding well in terms of admission of students this year at a higher rate than they were anticipating back in May and June, thinking, well, we don't know what this is going to look like. But students are turning out in droves throughout the entire country, drawing to Durango and this area. It's exciting in terms of numbers and budget, but from a healthcare perspective, how does that increase in students from all over the country feel from a hospital CEO?
You know, from my perspective, well, it's wonderful to have, obviously, the college continue to grow and thrive and do well, particularly during this time of COVID, where everybody has that concern. And I would agree with you that the attractiveness of a smaller community with such a great college that has such a great reputation, I think you put those two together and people have said, you know, this is safer for my kids and students, yet it's a quality education. And so you put those together, I think that's why we're seeing such increase here. But from a hospital standpoint, you know, for us, it's kind of business as usual because, you know, again, these tend to be healthy, asymptomatic students coming in. They don't put a lot of burden on the healthcare system, if you will. Certainly, we have our emergency room services available. So it doesn't really change that aspect. You know, not only in looking at both the students and the overall community, we try to get out the word that it's very important when students or community members do need the emergency room is to know that it is extremely safe. It's probably one of the safest places in the community because we so go overboard in terms of making sure everything is sterile. We make sure that there's proper triaging. If anybody comes in, we don't mix a patient who comes in with COVID symptoms with others. We have different tracks and separation areas. So it's very important for the community to, when you need those services, to come in. So from my standpoint, looking at all this, getting the word out to the community to use the hospital when you need to and not feel like COVID is keeping you away is very important, because if you wait, and we have seen this in other parts of the country where people have waited and then their condition worsens and we tend to have then a bigger problem and they do show up and it's really detrimental to their health. So very important for them to come in when they need it.
I also want to talk to, I know that you joined Centura and the CEO of Mercy in April. So for lack of a better word, you really stepped in it, Mike.
The middle of good timing. I probably got to pick a more opportune time.
But in February of 2020, there was a commitment to lower cost. I mean, I think also fear of getting COVID, but also fear of the payment of what this might be like for somebody that doesn't have insurance, that might not be afraid of the virus, but afraid of the bill. Let's talk to that component of it all.
Yeah, back in February, we actually initiated as part of Centura's part in trying to reduce the healthcare, the cost of healthcare. We actually lowered our cost to the community by 20% across the board, and that's not our charges. Those are what the community will actually pay, actually has to pay. So, and that's an important point because some people say, well, you know, what you charge, but what do I actually end up having to pay at the end of the day is we actually reduced it 20% of what you actually have to pay, which is pretty dramatic. In addition to that, we have worked tirelessly with the local health alliance, so the Southwest Health Alliance, and Locals First, which is part of that, and worked very closely with them in terms of them bringing to market a series of insurance products to help employers reduce their healthcare costs. And again, in that relationship with them, we were able to, they were able to benefit from that 20% reduction in cost as well. And so we work with them, literally we meet every week and talk through how we continue to partner and collaborate and work. And I believe there's going to be an announcement coming out soon about how well that has gone. But we have delivered on our word is probably the bottom line for you in terms of trying to help the community by dropping costs that our community pays for its healthcare services.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you feel like our listeners really know about the state of Mercy or Centura Health as a whole?
I think one of the big things just for students particularly coming in and the general community is I cannot emphasize enough the importance of social distancing, wearing a mask, and washing your hands many, 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 many times a day. And so that is extremely important because those three measures will do more to protect and help our community than any single measure. And so I would ask the students to, you know, don't touch your face, wear a mask, do social distancing, wash those hands, all the things that they probably have heard their parents telling them for years. But and as our community, if we do that, that will really help us stay where we are and keep the numbers low that we have today, and really protect our neighborhoods.
Mike Murphy, CEO of Mercy Regional Medical Center, thanks so much for joining us on KSUT.
My pleasure. Thank you.